So the Holy Spirit got a piece of cracker hung in my tooth. May have to buy a tooth, have a toothpick or something. I'm just kidding. No, don't. I'm not kidding about the cracker, but I don't need a toothpick. One day I was sitting at my desk there at the house, and I'd been studying or something. And one of my, I don't teach lessons like I did, but one of my students had given me a picture. Had a fiddle on it, music notes on it. It said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord," Psalms 100. And the Holy Spirit challenged me that day when I looked at that, and the Holy Spirit said, "What kind of noise are you making?" And I went, "Oh, that's good." I wrote that down. And I started studying about the noise. And what kind of noise do we make? Well, we went on vacation this week, and unexpectedly the place we went to, and I'm not mentioning names because I still love the town, I just was disappointed, and it's changed so much. I love jazz music, and we went to listen to jazz, and it was horrible. I heard country music, rock and roll, Zydeco, and one jazz band. People were pushing weed on the street. This is a tourist place, y'all. I saw the color in my wife's face. We walked from one end to the other of this place. I told you, I'm not beating up the town, okay? Because it's not their fault. But we walked through there, and I saw the color, the further we went, drain out of her face. She looked at me, and I looked at her, because we'd been there before. I've been there several times, and it wasn't the same place, y'all. The noise was horrible. The noise everywhere. People laying on the street. People doing things on the street, and this is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that you're supposed to go to a bathroom to do. It broke my heart. In fact, it broke my heart so bad that we sat down and had supper, and it was a good supper. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you want to leave here?" I said, "Yeah, I really do." We stayed the night. I canceled the reservations, and we left and went to another place, laid by the pool, like I told y'all, and it was good. See, God's good because He gives us that time that we should know to get out of something, you know? It's a time that it's just not a place for us to be. You know, I'm not getting religious about it. I'm just being honest. For her and I, that was not fun. It was not refreshing. It was not where we were supposed to be. You see, the noise that we deal with in the world is crazy. When we were on vacation, I read the news. I don't watch the news. And I read just a little bit of news this week because I was on vacation, so I didn't look at much. However, did you know that what the media noise is out there right now is there's a new wave of COVID. It's just invisible. What does that mean? Does that mean that it's really gone and we're just going to try to keep it around because it's invisible now? Now, ain't that funny? Oh, and then, but guess this. This is even better. They have now found. They got to replace it with something, y'all. I'm telling you. They have now found that the bird flu, the H1N5, new strain 5, has been found. A guy that works on a chicken ranch got it. I'm not making this up. Next thing you know, they'll tell you if you get bird fever, you're going to be growing beaks on your face or something. I don't know. But isn't that noise? Isn't that noise to try to get us off what our mission is supposed to be? You see, I looked up what noise is, and it's often perceived as an unpleasant sound, annoying, unwanted, loud. What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out? We had supper with a group a few weeks ago, and we didn't really know them that well, but we had supper, and there's about 8 of us. And everybody got their food but this couple. Well, I guess they don't like us. We're not good like they are. I went, what is that? I'm the one that went and asked where their food was. What noise are you making when you talk? You see, because we're supposed to make the noise that we want to make to the Lord, but we should be making that all the time. Amen? Now, some of y'all getting quiet, you're going to have to love me on this. I'm not pointing any fingers. That's y'all, not me. See, noises, the Holy Spirit showed me it starts with the C word, complaining. I had a list of all these things, of these noises, anxiety, doubt, fear, a whole list of stuff. But the Holy Spirit said it starts with complaining. Because once you start complaining, your mind takes over. We always talk about what comes out of your mouth. You know, hey, I've had this dadgum headache for blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? It ain't going away talking like that, making that kind of noise. You see, it's complaining. And that complaining causes sickness. It causes you to be broke. It causes your relationships to be broke. Don't show hands, but do you really like being around somebody that complains? I mean, what's that old saying? They'd gripe if there's hung with a new rope. I don't know what that meant, but that's what they always said growing up. I bet they'd gripe if there's hung with a new rope. But that's what complaining is. That's what you do to your life and to yourself and to others around you when we're supposed to be making a noise that's edifying, that's to build people up. You know, it usually comes when a person has a feeling of that they have lost control. And what we have to learn to do as believers is that we have to learn to give up control so that we'll have control. Now, part of you are looking at me like, what did he say? What I said was that you have to submit to God. Let me rephrase it. You have to submit to God in order to have control over your life. You see, if you're walking in the Word, then you're submitting to God and you're doing what you're supposed to do. That the Word is your way of being in control, even though you've given up. You've given yourself full-hearted, wholehearted, submitted to God. God, I'm yours. I am a walking testament to that because I'm up here ministering, and I swore I'd probably never ever done this in my life. Never pictured that. But when you submit, then you wind up with control. Okay? Now, so I looked up that word complaining, and the Greek translated that complaining, a complaint, listen to this, complainer is one who is discontented with their lot in life. Man, we have, you know, we talk to people all the time, and I talk to people and we discontented with it. There was a guy, a resort was at, they had a chocolate place. Man, went up, ooh, it was good too. Let me tell y'all, we got this big old brownie, and it's about that thick. Had big old chunks of chocolate in it, and had chocolate and caramel on top. And then they had Bluebell sea salt caramel ice cream. So I got a big old cup of that and that big old brownie, and we went to the room and we had that, and then we fell into a sugar coma. But the guy that was checking us out, everybody, we met the nicest people, y'all. Them Louisiana people are nice people. This one guy, how are you? He goes, good, y'all having fun? Yeah, man, it's great. Love the food here. Where'd y'all eat? Vic and Anthony's Steakhouse, man. Oh, my gosh. It's as good or better than Ruth Chris's Steakhouse. I'm telling you what. This was amazing food. Well, I'll never be able to eat in there. What? I can't afford that in there. I'm like, that's a complainer, y'all. And this is somebody that's spewing that noise. Do you ever stop and think, what's the noise that's coming out of my mouth? You see, when we have those deals and we complain, complaining is not a fruit of the Spirit, y'all. It's not. Now, what it will do, it's very detrimental to your patience and to your joy and to your peace, which are fruits of the Spirit. Y'all flip to Philippians. And while y'all getting there, can you imagine, y'all stop and think about Matthew 8, where the disciples were in the boat with Jesus, you know, and he's down there sleeping and it's storming. Do y'all think they were complaining? Well, absolutely. See, complaining in the Bible, and for believers even, is not a new thing. It starts in chapter 3 of the Bible. Some of y'all going, huh? Adam complained about Eve because she gave him the fruit. You should read it. It's a good book. It's interesting. Some good stuff in there, in that third chapter. Well, I mean, in all the chapters, but it was really interesting. God asked Adam, you ate fruit. And Adam said, that woman you sent me. Well, I Rickyized that a little bit. And that woman you sent me gave me that fruit. But he didn't have to eat it, but he did. You see, so in the very first book of the Bible, they started complaining. And then Matthew, they started complaining. But the Word says, Philippians 4:2. Or wait, did I say? I'm sorry. 2. I got it backwards. Philippians 2. I didn't look at my notes. Notes are overrated anyway. Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 14. And it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, if you look at that in the Amplified says, do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining. And it also, in parentheses, says against God. And questioning and doubting among yourselves. It's covered all the bases right there, y'all. So quit complaining and quit griping and quit grumbling and quit finding fault with other things and other people. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Does that sound familiar to y'all? Kind of sounds what we're living in right now, doesn't it? But it's telling us not to act that way, even though that's what we're seeing nowadays. Because it's a choice. You have a choice as to how you react, as to how you walk every day. And you have a choice, and some of you say, I just can't control my mouth. Yes, you can. You need to work on it. But you can. You have to learn that it's a choice. So the Word tells us that we will be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shines as lights in the world. You see, we're supposed to be shining as lights in the world. So my question would be to you, you don't have to answer, it's just rhetorical. But what comes out of your mouth, is that a light or is it a bunch of junk? You see, what needs to happen as believers is we have to learn to quit complaining about everything that's going on. Because it makes believe. Who would y'all want to? I don't want to be around somebody that complains all the time. I don't know about y'all. So do you think that non-believers that we're trying to witness to, and here's Christian, oh, they go to church. Listen to them complain and moan and groan and whine and grumble and mumble and murmur. It's a fun word, murmur. But you see, what I'm saying is that who wants to be around that? We are supposed to be lights in this dark world. And y'all, if you hadn't figured it out, it's pretty daggum dark right now. But that's okay, because we know the secret, which is no secret. We got Jesus, y'all. Amen? See, that's the noise that we need to be making. I got Jesus. Y'all remember that old commercial, I got milk? Okay. Milk. Ah, I got Jesus. Amen. That's right. I like Jesus. Don't care much for milk unless it's in ice cream. Okay, y'all flip to the left and go to Ephesians 4. Because we need to see what the Word says about complaining, and then I'm going to show y'all something better. The Word's all good, but I'm going to show you how to fix that complaining. Ephesians 4. We'll go to verse 29. For those of you who are playing along, it's just to the left. of Philippians, about 2 or 3 pages. Oh, my Jesus is so good. Golly, thank you, Lord. Woo! See, we ought to be, man, I'm telling y'all, I don't know how y'all sit there about half the time. I have trouble sitting even when Corey's preaching. It just because our God is so good. And it's about time that we start acting like it instead of bumps on logs, you know, and frogs on logs and I don't know, whatever. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, when I read that, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. So this is talking about whoever hears what you're saying or what noise you're making. Not only are other people hearing you, and it should edify them, it should edify you. You see, what are you speaking to that yourself hears? Because I don't know about y'all, but I do know that when the word really changed for me is when I started speaking it out loud. And if you don't speak the word out loud, you should try it sometime. You know? People go, well, I read silently. Well, that's all good, but it says faith comes by hearing. And hearing, well, you can't hear it yourself. I hear myself think. Well, I don't even know what that means. Used to, I'd have said something, but I won't anymore. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying is that people say, oh, I can hear myself think. No, you can't. You're just thinking those thoughts. When you speak something audibly, then you hear it. When you say that my God is above anything or everything that comes against me in the name of Jesus. Well, I don't know about y'all. That gives me goosebumps because that's edifying to me. Was it edifying to you? See? But it was to me, because what you're doing when you speak those things is you're building yourself up. Man, one of the best things is to try to build somebody else up, and you'll walk away, they're going, yeah, man, because you heard yourself say that. You're speaking to you. But we don't think that way. It's time to change your way of thinking, y'all. In James, it tells us to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. See, that gets, get away from that complaining thing. Be patient. And then that's in verse 7. In verse 8, it tells us to be patient again. You think he was trying to get something through to us on be patient, and he says it 2 verses in a row? The second time he says, be patient because the Lord draw nigh. He's drawing near soon. And then he says, don't complain about one another. That's what happens when we get out of the patient and we start complaining. Then we start complaining. Not only do we complain about the world and we complain about the price of gas and the price of diesel and the price, then we start complaining about people. No, y'all. We're supposed to build them up. The word says, God says, to love one another as I've loved you. Amen? Well, if he loves us, then why aren't we loving on each other? Why aren't we building people up instead of beating them down? The definition of sin is, in layman's terms, and I guess I don't, or in person terms, is to miss the mark. When you start complaining, you're missing the mark. Everybody get it? All right. When we start complaining, we're missing the mark. So if we're following Jesus, what do we have to complain about? Right? I mean, what did he do for us, y'all? That's what we just had communion about. Or even, why do we have to complain about what's going on in the world? Yeah, I know it's bad things. I choose not to participate. My pastor is such an awesome pastor. I've been under him for 8 years, and I've learned so much from that man. Oh, it was one of the biggest things I ever learned of. I choose not to participate. Thank you very much. Man, it's a great feeling when everybody else is going, and go, I choose not to participate. Nah, 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 nah. Why do they? You don't have to, y'all. Walk away. When people start complaining, walk away. When people, because all it's going to do is it's going to rub off on you. It's peer pressure. How many of you know there is such a thing as peer pressure? Yes. And all it does is it's a virus. It's like a virus. We call it the C virus, not cancer. No, it's not a virus. Complaining is a virus, and it goes viral. Isn't that what they say on Facebook or whatever, social media viral? That's what Facebook should really be called. Could be a complaining book instead of Facebook. But see, it goes viral and it causes people to fall into that trap. That trap of, oh, poor is me, oh, woe is me. But no. I have the Most High God. I am a child of the High Most High God. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and man, I'm going to run up and down the street hollering and thanking Jesus. I'm not going to be afraid to tell people about my Jesus. My Jesus is wonderful. My Jesus loves me. My Jesus is there when I need Him. My goodness, we don't have reason to complain. So what do you do? Well, I'm glad y'all asked. Turn to Psalms 100 is what we do. Oh, thank you, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Psalms 100. Thank you, Father. Man, God's so good. Woo! My well is full in Jesus' name. That's what I'm calling it. I'm speaking to that well to fill with water. Our tank out here is full. Man, our land is wonderful. Everything's green. We are growing, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. That's a joyful noise, y'all. Amen. Psalms 100, everybody found it? We're going to start in verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Well, so I looked up noise in the Hebrew because I gave you all the definition of what they say noise is in the dictionary. But if you look it up, what the Bible says it is, so much nicer. To shout in applause. Amen. To cry out in triumph. An exultant shout. Wow. That doesn't sound like the same thing we just talked about, does it? No. Man. So it says to make a joyful noise. Now, joyful noise, a noise we think of as that other that we talked about. Okay, so we got to erase that and get away from that annoying sound, okay? And then people go, well, it says make a joyful noise to the Lord, and some people think that's just singing. And then some of you go, oh, well, have you heard so-and-so sing? No. No, it doesn't matter. You see, noise, it's not, singing is not just singing. And we're going to find that out in just a minute. But when you make a joyful noise to the Lord, what's your motive? See, that's one thing that the Holy Spirit showed me is, and I've probably been accused, and because I'll speak about myself. When you see me play, you see me moving and you see me do things, that's not me, okay? I'm being led by the Spirit, whether y'all know it or not. And I've always been, but I didn't know what it was when I first started playing. I could not be still when I played as a kid. And I've been that way. And if you ever see me standing still, you better check my pulse. But what is your motive? My motive is to serve the Lord with the gift I've been given. So that when we make a joyful noise to the Lord, our motive has to be one thing and one thing only, the Lord. We're not making a joyful noise for everybody else in the congregation or everybody else walking down the street. You make that joyful noise for the Lord. He has to be the center of your noise. Amen? That's what a joyful noise is. You remember when Paul and Silas were in the prison? And about midnight, what did they start doing? Praising. They started praising God and singing. But, okay, so this is a perfect... Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. I know He's good. This is really good. Y'all just wait. Paul and Silas are in a prison, and it was Mamertine prison. It was the nastiest prison there were. They're in chains, and they start praising God. What was their motive? They weren't showing off in prison on how good they sang or how bad they sang. They were thanking God and praising God. They were in prison because they knew. They had faith. They knew that what He could do for them. They knew that He made them, He created them, so what He was going to do for them, they already knew it. All they had to do was start making that joyful noise to the Lord in a nasty prison, y'all. But their motive was, their heart was for the Lord. Amen? Make sense? Amen. Whew, thank you, Holy Spirit. That was good. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now that word gladness means joyful rejoicing. Whoo, thank you, Lord, for the rain. Y'all ought to be shouting about now. Woo! Bring it on. My wife will bring the car up to the door. I'm just kidding, baby. Just kidding. Probably shouldn't have said that one either, huh? Having a little trouble with that today. So singing is joyful, gladness is joyful rejoicing. That's what gladness is. Come before His presence with singing. Here's where we're going to go with that. Singing, the definition in the Hebrew of singing is joyful, triumphing, exclaimed victory, exultant shout. So you don't have to sing good, because singing can be singing as to what we know, but in Hebrew, it really means that it can be an exultant shout. It can be a shout of triumph. You know, just what we did then. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring that rain down. You see, that's what we be saying. We be saying, thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, when it talks about gladness, it reminds me of it says to serve with gladness. And what it reminds me of is what it tells us in Isaiah. Isaiah says that we should be willing and obedient. We eat the good of the land. Well, if we're serving with gladness, then we are being willing and obedient to the Lord. See, if we do it willing and obediently, then we're doing it cheerfully. And we're doing it with gladness. So those of you who think that just because you want to make a joyful noise, it doesn't have to be singing. So you can be relieved today. All right? Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord is, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You have to remember just what... This is a guide, y'all. So when I said, what do we do? This is what we do. Not only is this what we do, this is how we do it. It tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Okay, everybody, on three, make a joyful noise to the Lord. One, two, three. Okay, that was the noise, but everybody did the same thing. Peer pressure. No. Now, when we make a noise to the Lord, it's okay to holler like that. But it's also okay. You know, one of the things, as a new believer, it's hard to go, oh, glory, or hallelujah. Because it just comes off the tongue a little different. But you know what? He loves those terms. Hallelujah. Man, put some gladness in it. Put some joyful in it. Glory. You know, I love Steve when he does his deals. Glory. I can't even say it. I love how he says it, though. Yeah, because he says it with motive, with the right motive. You see, when we make a noise, it doesn't just have to be singing. See, that's what the Holy Spirit showed me through this whole sermon this morning, is when I was studying, is everybody thinks that joyful noise is just about praise and worship. It's not, y'all. What kind of noise are you making all day long at your job? What kind of noise are you making when you buy groceries? What kind of noise are you making when that guy cuts you off? What kind of noise are you blessing him properly? What kind of noise are you making? Does it please God, the noise that you make? See, because when you start thinking about what kind of noise am I making, does God really want to hear my noise? I don't know. I'm just challenging you today. Because when we start working on those areas as believers, our light starts shining in a world that light needs to be shined in. And that's our job, y'all. Come on. That Jesus is the light. And that we're His light, that He uses us to shine. But if we're not shining, then we're not doing our job, and it's probably because we're not making the right kind of noise. Amen? Number four, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. This is talking about back in the Old Testament, that when they came in, they could only go in a certain part. They couldn't go in the Holy of Holies. But when they went in, they brought their sacrifice, but that they had to come in with praise and thanksgiving. They entered His gates. Y'all, we operate in His gates all day long. We should be praising and thanking Him all the time. All the time. Man, I've told y'all, my wife and I, we thank God every time we're in a parking lot and we get a space closed in front. I said, "Woo, thank you, Jesus. That's ours." Man, I go stand in line and go to a restaurant and there's a party of 8 in front of us and a party of 6. And I'm going, "Well, pooey, I hate standing in line." And so they'll come out and they'll go, "Sir, how many of you? 2? Oh, we have a table just opened up for 2. Come on." I said, "Woo, thank you, Jesus." See, and people hear you say, "Thank you, Jesus," and they go, "Yes," because I'm giving Him credit. You see, but not just in opening up a parking spot or not just opening up a table. How about opening up that door for that new job? And if you say, "Thank you, Jesus," boom. How about just thank you for the opportunity? Man, do you ever thank God for the opportunity? I mean, there's people that do things, and I'm thankful for God that I didn't have to do those things. And I don't mean that ugly. That's not me. But you see, we're all put on here to do something. And it's to minister to someone. Doesn't mean you have to be up here doing this. It means that wherever you walk, wherever you talk, whoever you touch, whoever you see is going to see if Jesus is in you or not. What kind of noise are you making? Amen? Verse 4. Oh, we just did that one. Whew, sorry, I got excited. Verse 5, "For the Lord is good." Everybody say good.
Good.
Woo, yes. "His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Do you know what that means, to His truth, which is what? The Word, right? His truth is the Word, and it's for all generations. That's you and I, y'all. This Bible was written that long ago, but it says to all, and all means all. See, y'all learned a lot today. Woo! That His truth is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it's not going to change, y'all. And if we learn how to get in line with the truth of God, then we will operate in joyful, and we'll be making that joyful noise. Amen? I want y'all to hear something real fast. So everybody, when you have that day that you don't want to make a joyful noise, turn to Psalm. Here's what you do and how you do it. You go to Psalms 100, and it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Start praising Him and start thanking Him. You see, that's how you do it. That's how that you get past the complaining and the whining and the moaning. And when you start joyfully rejoicing and praising God, that's all gone, y'all. I was getting ready this morning. I was in there shaving this morning, and I had my iPhone. That's it. I had my iPhone on while I was shaving in there in the bathroom. And that song that we sang to start with was playing. They're doing this. I just wanted y'all to see the picture. They're doing this. And they started singing the chorus. And the Holy Spirit goes, "You need to listen." "Yes, sir." "On the authority." It says, "On the authority of the Holy Word, I rise up and take a stand. I'm the blood-bought child of the living God who is the great I am. I'm the heir to all that heaven holds, and no principality can ever take away my royal crown given on the authority." My Lord. They ought to be more than that, with joyful noise going on in this place if you listen to those words. It says one thing in here. It says, "I'm his favorite son. I'm his favorite child." Why don't we start acting like it? Amen. My Lord. God is so good. I encourage y'all today. Go out all week long, not just this afternoon or tomorrow, or make a joyful noise like that baby. Amen. It's okay. You see, a baby's not afraid to let it fly. Why are y'all afraid to let it fly? My grandkids, Laurie and I, we get them in here, and when we come to Bible study on Tuesday night, we're the DJ. And they're going, "Okay, it's your turn. Play Wave Walker." Okay. If you haven't listened to it, find it. It's a good one. "Okay, whose turn is it? Play Raise Hallelujah." And Celie, she's got to go, play Blessed by Corey Ross. I said, "That's not on my phone." She said, "Yes, it is. You play that." You see, we drive down the road making a joyful noise. As loud as we can make it. Turn it up, y'all. Turn up the joyful noise in your life. Because it's time. It's time to start rejoicing. It's time to start praising. It's time to enjoy what you do every day that you walk. And I encourage it. Quit looking behind you. You get fired up and you get out there and you praise God for what you have, not for what you don't have. Praise Him for what you've got. Praise Him for what He's going to bring you. Praise Him for your healing. Thank Him for your healing. Come on, y'all. You have to get fired up. God's good, and He's good all the time. Amen. With your head bowed and every eye closed, we would never not do a service that we don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do that right now. You know, the only way is out of your mouth. You have to confess. It comes out of your mouth. You don't just think it. But the Word says that we shouldn't be afraid to confess Jesus before man, because if we're not, then He will confess us before the Father. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now, today, I want you to say this prayer. We're going to say it out loud, but you're not going to do it by yourself. The believers are going to say it in here with you. Because we all need to know this prayer. We need to be leading people to Jesus. Because there is a place called heaven, and there is a place called hell. Man, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. So right now, I want you to say this prayer. Believers, y'all say it with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed for the respect of other people. Say, "Father in heaven, I ask you to come into my heart and save me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on that cross and He rose from the dead. Father, I thank you for your instruction manual, the Word. Father God, thank you for today, that it's my God day. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just said that prayer and you just accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand real quick on the count of three and then put it right back down. We want to get you a Bible. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Anybody? Be bold. If that was you today, don't be afraid to get that hand up. All right, y'all look at me. All right. It happens. Corey says it happens every once in a while. We have those, but most Sundays we usually have two or three, four or five get saved. But we are honored that you're going to take this word and you're going to bring other people into our church, your church, and we're going to grow and get people saved. Amen? Have y'all had a good time this morning? Amen. Come on up, Sharon. Thank you, ma'am.
Let me get this one tended to first. Can you hear me? Okay. That's why the kids usually do that instead of me. They do it better. Well, praise God. That was amazing, was it not? Let's all have a... Ricky is one of the most in-depth, talk-to-your-heart preachers that I've ever had the privilege to sit under. And I was thinking when you were talking about seed time harvest today, you're black dirt. I mean, black dirt grows good stuff, you know? It's not like sand. It's not blown around. It's black dirt. And you're black dirt. So therefore, as most of y'all know, they do not receive a salary at this church for preaching, right? So we want to bless them so heartily. And by blessing Ricky, you're actually blessing yourselves, because not only did we hear about favor of God today, that we know who we are, a child of the Most High God, but by sowing seed into this ministry, you have harvest. So without a doubt, as soon as this is over, please come up and put it in this. These two are for the church. This one goes straight to Ricky. You can make checks out to Ricky Boyne Ministry. And as we like to say, million is spelt with a B. Oh, wait, an M. Okay, never mind. Either or. But we just want you to know how much we love you, how appreciative we are of your word. As soon as the amen is said, people that are going to work for the rodeo, and please do, it's such a big thing in this church, meet right over here quickly so that I believe Ricky's going to do the committee thing, and we will take your name and number, find out where you want to work, and it will be a blessing to you as well as to this church. Father God, I just thank you so much for the word that you gave us today, for the fact that we do have your favor, but we have to walk in it, Father God. Father, I thank you for every single person that is here today, listening and drinking in your word, that they go forth from this building with you in them, so that they can have a blessed and wonderful week. I thank you that our pastors are covered with your blood of covenant, Father God, as they travel. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you, Lord. Amen.